Okay. That's you guys. That's your cue.
And yesterday you didn't see us because all day we were at our uncle's party.
Oh. How come I didn't get invited?
Because you were working at church.
Ooh, that was quick. You're going to be a politician. I can tell. Okay? We begin our series on the holy mysteries or the sacraments. And we talked about grace, and then we talked about the sacraments conveying that grace. Then we looked at baptism and chrismation as the baptism of water and the baptism of the Spirit. And then we said before we would go to the Eucharist, we would look at confession for what happens if we were to fall after we've been baptized and chrismated. And we talked about that last week, and I'd like to continue this week with confession. So what is sin? We talked about that a couple months ago. But to review again, very briefly, the New Testament uses five different words for sin. However, the most common is the Greek word hamartia. That was originally a shooting word that meant to miss the mark or to miss the target. Now, if therefore sin is defined as failing to hit the spiritual target, then the shooting sports can help us to better understand sin. So when I heard that, when I thought of that, I said, oh good, because I'll be ready for this, okay? In 1981, I had a special invitation to compete in the pistol matches as part of the International Law Enforcement Olympics being held that year in Sydney, Australia. So we traveled to Sydney to compete in that. I had begun competing in the competitive shooting sports in junior high school, and I had taught marksmanship in college and also in the reserves after I came off of active duty. So the first thing, though, then knowing of something of the shooting sports, the first thing is to know the target. That is, what exactly are we aiming at or aiming for? We say, well, that's easy, the bullseye. But the bullseye has a number of rings in it. Where are we aiming? We might say, well, I'm hitting the bullseye. Usually I do not commit any serious transgressions of God's laws. So I'm right on. But it's not committing serious transgressions of divine law. Is that really the target, just to avoid the transgressions of God's law? Well, let's look at Genesis in the very first chapter, and it's written thus. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heaven, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth. So God made man in the image of God. He made him male and female, he made them. The image of God, that's our target. That's what we're aiming for. That's what we're trying to hit. And when we deviate from that, when we miss that mark of being in the image and likeness of God, then we talk about sin. God is love. James tells us, we know that from the scriptures. And when we fail, we look at all of our sins, we will find that they all involve love. Either we become selfish and we've denied God his love, or we're selfish of the worldly things and we deny our fellow man our love. And sometimes I think sin comes when we fail to love ourselves. And we start to doubt that God made us in our image and likeness. We don't think that we're really worthy of that designation. You know, these t-shirts, I've seen them, that says, God doesn't make junk. It's true. He makes mankind, every single person, in his own image and likeness. So, we're talking about the shooting sports then. We're going to aim right for the middle of the bullseye. Right? The bullseye will have a little dot in it many times. And that's how the match is decided. Everybody's hitting the middle of the bullseye. It's how many hit the dot. Okay. The target is therefore to be perfectly, that's our target, to be perfectly in the image and likeness of God. In his second letter, Paul admonishes the Corinthians to strive for this type of perfection. Here's what he writes to the Corinthians in the 7th chapter. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. So it isn't off the mark, if you would, to say perfection is what we're aiming for. Now, it's going to be hard for us. Now, I've never been to any matches where anybody hit all the little pinpricks, okay, all the little dots in the middle or the X's, whatever it was that decided it. Because perfection belongs to God alone. But we're to strive for it. No one comes to any match not expecting to, coming there to do his very best to try to hit every one of the little dots in the middle of the bullseye. But he also knows that this, no one has accomplished that. Therefore, when we are not the best husbands and wives that we can be, when we're not the best parents and children that we can be, when we're not the best employers and employees that we can be, when we're not the best neighbors that we can be, when we're not the best Orthodox Christians that we can be, then we are missing the target of perfection, and thus we are sinning. Again, going back to the shooting sports, we must not only know the target, though, now we know it, but we have to keep an eye on the target at all times, or we may find ourselves aiming at the wrong target. When we went to the match in Australia, they didn't give you a tour of the venue first. So we had to take a train out to this place about 30 miles outside of Sydney, and there was the venue. And the targets were lined up shoulder to shoulder. There was hardly any room between them, and there were 50 targets straight across. So you had to remember which was yours. You couldn't be distracted by a different target. Right? The same is true in our aim for the target of spiritual perfection, that is, being in the image and likeness of God. We can lose track of that target as it stands among all the other targets of distraction. Huh? The distractions of life, job, school, family, health concerns. We can miss our target of spiritual perfection by, for example, cheating on our taxes in order to increase our possessions or because we feel the government charges too much. We might lie in order to keep from embarrassing ourselves. So to keep from being embarrassed becomes the wrong target. Or we might skip our prayer so that we can watch a really informative TV show, something we should know about. And that becomes a target that distracts us from the target of perfection. Or we might miss divine liturgy because friends are staying with us and we don't want to appear inhospitable. So the hospitality target, she becomes that which distracts us. In each case, we thought that we were aiming at the right target, but in fact, we were aiming at the wrong target. Before every action or inaction that we take, we have to be sure we're aiming at our own target of trying to be in the image and likeness of God, not to be misled by these other things. Another cause of missing the mark in shooting is external distractions. They're different than the wrong target. The wrong target, we think we're aiming in the right target, but it's the wrong one. We have the wrong reason or the wrong accomplishment we're trying to get. But in the distractions, let me give you an example. We used to practice at the police academy range, and it was right next to the Clearwater Airport. And there were times you thought the airplanes were landing on top of you. And that was probably the best thing that we could have done because that we had to overcome those distractions and to concentrate on what we were doing, to pay attention. So we know what our target is, perfection, but we miss the mark because we're distracted by something else. In our spiritual life, the external distractions can be delights of the world, abuse of food or drink, wasting time on TV or the internet. I just saw somewhere that the calculation of how much TV the average person watches has gone up to 4.5 hours a day. So it's hard to say, oh, Father, I don't have time to say my prayers. We have to ask ourselves, bless you. We have to ask ourselves then, what about our TV watching or internet surfing? You're going to have to cut some of that out, see, because that becomes a distraction to toward our perfection. Skipping divine liturgy for recreation. See, we live in a non-Christian world. So we have soccer leagues. On the way over here, Matushka and I always pass in Clearwater this huge ice skating rink. And they must hold church services there on Sundays because it's packed. It's packed. And we're driving by, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. So they must have early services. But we think nothing of that anymore in our country. I've had people here come, oh, Father, you know, we can't come every Sunday. None of the parishioners, please. I can't come every Sunday because the kids have soccer, the kids have this, the kids have that. I said, try coming here for a month. Maybe your priorities will change. You see how those distractions can get in our way. In the shooting sports, you have to score the targets very carefully. Okay, where's my prop, Sean? I'm supposed to take it out of the bag, remember? Okay. This is my prop. Okay? We use this type of a thing. You see it's got a point on it and a little round, and it's just the size that the hole in the paper would be. They actually come in different sizes depending on the size of the bullet. And around it is a magnifying glass. You can see it. That round plastic is actually a magnifying glass. And so we put it into the hole when it's close to the line, and we want to be very exact as to what's going on. So just as the magnifying glass is used to examine a target, we need to use the magnifying glass of a good examination of conscience to see where we may have missed the mark. So the scoring, if you will, is the examination of conscience. And we got to be honest about it. That's why we use our magnifying glass, and now no cheating. Let's be honest with ourselves. First, we need to start, though, by praying to the Holy Spirit that He'll help us and guide us in our examination of conscience. To think that we can do a good examination of conscience without the Spirit is we're fooling ourselves. Those of you that have made life confessions, the converts, you know the necessity of the Spirit, right? And you can feel the Spirit as He helps you to make that. Now, second, too often our examination of conscience is nothing more than a quick and cursory check of the Ten Commandments, and that's it. We even feel, well, I didn't do any of those, so I'm free from sin. I don't need confession. I didn't murder anybody, and I had no adultery, and I got no idols at the house. So I'm good to go. The Ten Commandments are only a start. How about the two great commandments? Love God. And love your neighbor. I think we could spend a few hours at least examining our conscience to see whether we loved God always and at all times, and whether we loved our neighbor as ourselves. What about the Beatitudes? Other problem. Okay? I'm working on trying to find something. Okay? To try to find something to help us with the examination of conscience. Kevin pointed out to me that what I've been doing is too rushed, and it really doesn't give enough time. And he's absolutely right. I do it to try to help those who have not examined their conscience before they came here for confessing. That really should be done at home. But here, this little book helps you to examine your conscience with the Beatitudes. How's this? Blessed are the merciful. And this is the questions that are there. Do I show mercy to others? Do I forgive those who offended me? Do I try to understand those who are different? Do I take pleasure in judging and condemning? Do I talk about others? Do I revel in gossip? Do I say things, though possibly true, which need not be said but only can harm? Do I rejoice in wrong? Am I legalistic, loving the law more than the Spirit? Do I smooth things over and cover offenses, or do I stir things up by picking and condemning? Am I petty and small? Do I slander and shame? Am I prejudiced, making judgments and coming to conclusions without proper facts, but with preformed opinions? Do I actually prefer strict judgment to tender mercy? Look how much is covered by that one beatitude. And we're going to work on developing something so that we can all have it, so that at home we can examine our conscience. And as I said, we need to take our time. We can't be rushed. Fourth, we need to be honest. We're only fooling ourselves. That's the only one that we fool. Here's what John says in his first letter. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. And then he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. How? So when we say that we're free from sin, we have probably not examined our conscience sufficiently. Fifth, we need to stop making excuses. God forgives sin, not excuses. Just tell God, you sin. Don't make excuses. And finally, and you know what I noticed always? We're so understanding and forgiving of ourselves, and so judgmental and condemning of everybody else. When I heard confessions one time at a diocesan assembly, and a number of people came up, and when one of the sins they struggled with was judging others, particularly in the parish. And what I always say to people who tell me that, I say, listen, here's what I want you to do. Pick out the person. Is there somebody in your parish other than you who you think is really holy? Like the person saying, there's a holy person. They go, oh yeah, there's always somebody. So okay, the next time you think about judging somebody else, immediately judge yourself against that one that you so admire as holy. And you'll see how unworthy you are to judge another. Okay? So let's not make excuses and so on, but we need to confess. Finally, if we need to write it down, write it down. Some of the best and sincerest confessions I have heard were from people who wrote down their sins. The catechumens always do that. Having done the scoring, if you would, of our target, this examination of conscience, we need to keep on doing it. We need to develop a conscience that is not scrupulous. You know what that means, scrupulous? Like everything is a sin. Okay? It's not. And people come in and they'll confess, oh, Father, I missed the liturgy because I had pneumonia. What are you confessing to me? What? God doesn't want you here with pneumonia. And neither does I want you here with pneumonia. Stay in bed. You see, that's not sin, because there's a just and honorable reason why we're absent. And so that's a failure in our examination of conscience as well. But neither do we want a lax conscience. See, those are the two extremes. Okay, lax, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. I mean, we Orthodox Christians will do a lot of that. That's okay. Okay, we're no different than anybody else. We have Orthodox Christians that live together and say, that's okay. We got Orthodox Christians that think that abortions are okay. You know, we have to look at Olympia Snow, the senator. So we want neither a lax conscience, nor do we want a scrupulous conscience. And we need to examine each day. Each day we should be, at the end of the day, we need to examine our conscience and see how we did that day. And it takes practice to do good examination of conscience, just as in the shooting sports. I remember we were practicing one time at a public range, and a number of the people who were there stopped and they were watching us. And somebody came up and he said, how can you get that good? I said, well, you put 10,000 rounds down range and you'll be just as good. It was all done with practice. And so is our examination of conscience. We should be doing that daily. And then daily, when we finish our examination of conscience, asking God to forgive those sins.
We need to keep from getting discouraged also, especially when dealing with addictive sins. So many addictions in our society. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, food, you name it, we're addicted to it in America. So we can't get discouraged when we're fighting against those. We fall, we examine our conscience, we recognize the failure, we get up, and we go on. Do not let the devil use that discouragement. That's one of his favorite tools. I cannot overcome this sin. Yes, you can, because God is God. And he'll be victorious over the devil. Right? Satan thought he was going to have a war in heaven. Right? It says that in the book of Revelation. And war broke out in heaven. And Michael and his angels waged war against the dragon and his angels. Who won? God. Because Michael drove Satan and his angels out of heaven. So don't be afraid with those type of addictive sins. Keep at it. And come to confession regularly. As long as you're in your heart saying, I'm fighting it, I don't want this sin. That's repentance. And you may fall again and again and again. It's the grace of God that will help you to overcome. Don't get discouraged. My last example of the shooting sports, when we were in Australia, the first six rounds went downrange, and I could see where I was standing. I had dropped, it's called dropping, I had dropped one into the nine range, lost a point. In that type of competition, that could have been it. I couldn't believe it. I said, I traveled all halfway around the world to end it at the first go. And I said, well, that's it. We got to just bear it down. That was the highest score I ever had in my whole life. The highest ever. Because you can't be distracted by your failures. You just got to get up, brush off, and keep going. And having determined where we missed the mark, unlike the shooting sports, we get a do-over. Where we sin, we can have our sins, our missed marks, if you would, wiped away, forgotten by Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, it's written in the 9th chapter, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. What a great encouragement that should be for us. Because when we're all done with this particular activity, this shooting sport of examining our conscience and knowing sin, we get the gold medal. Our sins forgiven. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.